It is hour number two of Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey. At 1:45, where are we at in society? You've heard of sleep monitoring technology, but how about sleep erection monitoring technology for the greater good? At 1:30, Iowa finally went full Iowa and more from the weekend in college football. And in mere minutes, the Longhorns lose in rough fashion to Oklahoma State at DKR. I'm Trey Elling, and sitting across from me is Chad Hastings.
Yes, indeed. Hour number two on a Monday, trying to process everything that happened over the weekend. And I'll admit, I have not seen it yet. But Trey, have you followed this Jackson Mahomes story from the weekend?
This kid is proving to be a jackass this NFL season, and I'm getting tired of having to see him act like an idiot.
Yeah, and I'm reading now this tweet of apologizing. From what I just saw, that looks like somebody doing a TikTok video that has no clue where he's standing. He just didn't know where he was standing.
I'm giving him credit for being a little bit more aware than that. And if not, he needs to be, because that was a big ordeal.
Yeah.
So he needs to know better. And yeah. But hey, you know what? At least he apologized.
He did.
This time.
Yeah, he tried to apologize for it. So hopefully people will maybe accept that apology.
Is the apology loaded? Is the apology, I didn't realize what I was doing?
It's a little bit of that.
Okay, I'm sorry. Screw him and his fake apology. Own it or don't. Don't qualify your apology. And I'm not just talking about Patrick Mahomes' brother. I'm talking about anybody. Don't qualify an apology. Apologize or it's not sincere, period.
Yeah, and I mean, yeah, the guy, to me, it just looked like a lack of awareness. And this whole thing, look, speaking as someone who is associated with something that chooses at times when the ground is sacred and when the ground is not sacred, okay, you painted a number on the field to pay tribute to Sean Taylor. I get that. I just talked about how the team ripped on him and all that. Some kid is doing I really don't think his brain is complex enough to think I'm going to dance on Sean Taylor's number. I really don't think that's what he was thinking.
You don't get to use that excuse the day the number is painted onto the field. If nothing else, Chad, he's smelling the fumes. And he's feeling how much slicker that
right,
part of the turf
okay.
is.
Okay, all right, fair enough, fair enough. That's a good devil's advocate. That's fair.
And by the way, the first time I walked across that sacred grass where I think several revelies are buried in College Station on the A&M campus, I really didn't know that I was walking across sacred grass until people told me. So I apologized in that moment, said, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry, I didn't see it. Yeah, it was... There's like metal chains that are blocking this grass off, but I just stepped over because I'm like, there's just a huge crowd of people and I hate crowds. So the first time was my bad. The times after that, well, I may have played stupid even though I knew what was going on.
I see how that works. All right, so a big weekend, obviously, in the world of football. You had that game in Washington where the Chiefs did get a win. We talked about the Cowboys getting the big win in New England. We'll be cleaning up college and pro football throughout today and tomorrow. But obviously, big focusing in on the Cowboys win, but also the Longhorns loss. Mike Gundy did it to him again, 5 out of 6, 6 out of 7 in Austin. What is it now? 5 in a row, and so what? The man wins some big games in Austin.
It was up until the game 2 years ago where Tom Herman beat him here. I think he had won every matchup in Austin through the decade.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Like going back to 2009, I want to say.
Jaylen Warren had 33 carries and 193 in the game. And
he's not that good.
He is not.
He looked great, but I promise you he's not that good.
So I looked up some numbers for you and all Texas fans out there to qualify when Gus Johnson probably let something slip that shouldn't have slipped. But when Gus Johnson starts talking about New York and he's going to be at the Heisman ceremony when the dust settles –
Gus Johnson went hyperbolic? I don't believe you.
I know. It's hard to believe. Hard to believe. So here are the facts as I see them, because I started thinking to myself, okay, we've had Heisman winners that lost 3 games. Anybody ever lost 4? So I started digging through. Manziel lost 2. RG3 lost 3. And you've had some others that you can have it. You just got to have the right year. This is one of those years. Georgia's number one. Their defense is awesome. No one's ever going to give a true defensive player the Heisman again. I say again, it's never happened. A true defensive player's never won it. Charles Woodson had to do other things. So you got that. It could set up that way.
And there just aren't that many standout offensive players this year either.
Yeah, people are talking about the Pitt quarterback, for God's sakes. And yeah. He plays Clemson this week, and Pickett may get to make a name, may get to make a case. So here's what it is. I found three guys who lost four games, but they lost the fourth game in the bowl, and they are Lamar Jackson, Bo Jackson, and George Rogers. But all the way back to 1970, as far as I went, that's 51 Heisman winners. From 1970 to now, I cannot find one Heisman winner that lost four regular season games.
I thought Ricky's team was 8-4.
They lost three.
Oh, okay.
They lost three games.
Okay.
Unless I'm mistaken, and if I screwed up and missed that in 98, then I'm an idiot.
No, you're probably right. That is based on my memory from going back to 98.
So there could be a chance I'm an idiot. I'll double check that one. But the other thing, and in going back through Ricky's year of that 98 season, is that there were three games where Ricky got outrushed by the other team. Like a guy on the other team.
Is that right? I never would have guessed that.
It did happen. But two of them, Trey, were like...
You're right. 9-3, by the way.
Okay.
You are correct.
So two of them were Ricky had a bad day. Defense, you know, held him and he got like 60-something yards and somebody else on the other side got 70. That was against K-State and Oklahoma State. Then again, in the loss to Texas Tech, the other Ricky Williams got like 141 and Ricky got 140. So it's a technicality, but it's there. Bijan has been clearly outrushed by three different guys in their three different losses. Plus, Trey, my argument would be he doesn't have two things that Ricky had at the end of the year.
An offensive line.
No, it's not even that. Ricky got to go to Nebraska. That still meant something, and end that winning streak.
Mm.
You got to have moments to win a Heisman.
No, you're right.
This is the pageant of college football. What moment does Bijan Robinson have on this schedule?
He would have had that moment had they held on to beat Oklahoma.
Yes.
That big run that he had in the second quarter that got down to technically it was a two. It was really the one.
But that's taken from him now.
That would have been his moment, but it's not. You're right.
So now what do you have? Plus, Ricky had the A&M game. A&M was pretty damn good that year. They won the conference that year. They'd already won the South that day. They were like six in the country, even though they played pretty clunky, like some of those teams could play back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a pretty good team. So he got to beat a rival. He got to go after that record. Tony Dorsett was there. A lot of stuff came together for Ricky. I just don't know if number five is going to get there. But I'm telling you, historically, if they lose one more game, history says he cannot win the thing. Because 50 years of the Heisman says you can't win. You cannot lose four games in a regular season and win that trophy.
I already chalk it up as a victory if he even makes it to New York at this point.
I would, too.
Because he's already been outrushed three times in their three losses. And at least in one of those games, you still need him to be the leading rusher.
Somebody mentions Paul Hornung. You might have to go back that far to find a guy. Hornung was on a losing team, so he would have obviously lost four or more. I just went back to 70 and Plunkett.
And it's infuriating, man. Like, I know Kennedy Brooks is a guy who has shown the ability to get it done in the past, but Bijan Robinson, up to a point, was clearly the best player in the game. And on Saturday, he had another one of those really nice long touchdown run moments, but unfortunately it gets wiped away because the offense, they really sucked after that, and the defense was somehow even worse. Yeah. And allowing a guy who's at his best, I would say that he's a good running back, but he's not a game breaker necessarily. And I'd say that overall he's slightly above average. They just kept doing these fundamentally sound things that eventually started to work because the Texas defense was gassed and continued to get out-physicaled at the point of attack. And our linebackers, once again, continue to suck at cleaning plays up, and the safeties are no better. And I realize that Brennan Schooler received more run than Jaron Thompson did in that game. I mean, okay, I guess you tried to do something different, but we've seen this out of Brennan Schooler this year. Completely different guys in there altogether. You saw it at linebacker a little bit, where Jalen Ford finally gets that chance with DeMarvion Overshown getting knocked out of the game with a concussion, and he looked pretty good for the most part.
Had a couple moments, yeah.
David Benda had a couple of okay moments, and he had some really bad moments too, so that was a bit of a bust. But at least you're trying something different. Like the start of the game, and Paul Wadlington points this out in his Inside Texas write-up over the weekend. At the start of the game, Texas did something different with their front. They went with a true three-down line look with Alfred Collins as that third lineman.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked better at first. Now, the downside of that is you took Anthony Cook off the field because the nickel is gone rather than removing one of those linebackers. And so I would maybe consider sliding Cook back to safety in a situation like that again and taking either Foster or Jaron Thompson or Brennan Schooler off the field. I guess that's neither here nor there, though. Unfortunately, we still see the same problems with this defense that have been evident all year long. The defensive line not being consistently good enough up front to win their battles, to set their teammates up, to clean plays up. And when those teammates do get the opportunity, unfortunately, they are not capitalizing far more often than not.
No doubt. A lot of text rolling in. Specs text line 337-3776. Somebody says they looked it up. I forgot this one. But Tebow lost his fourth in a bowl game when he won the Heisman in 07. Mm. So he was one of those four losses, but that was in the bowl, not regular season losses. And the other thing, you think about Bijan. Every year when somebody wins the Heisman, they stand up there and they tell you about all the stuff that their teammates did. I couldn't have done it without. I couldn't have done it without. I couldn't have done it without. Ricky Williams had an offensive line, folks. If you don't remember 1998, that group could block. And if Bijan Robinson wins this Heisman Trophy, he's going to do it by himself.
Mm-hmm.
He really is. And you just can't. Not at running back. I mean, I would argue you can't at any position, really. But you really can't do it at running back. If you're going to have blocking like that, they're just having issues. They're moving guys around. When you're moving guys around during the game, Trey, and no one has gotten hurt in game seven,
mm-hmm.
I think we all know what that means. That means you just know you can't block, and you're trying to figure it out. So somebody texted in, well, there's no way he's winning it because we're losing at least one, if not two more. I don't know if that's true. But there's teams coming, we talked about it, that are physical, that will run the ball. What do you have right now, Trey, that makes you believe they're going to Waco and they're winning for sure?
I hate to have to state this so bluntly to Longhorn fans right now, but guys, we need to be concerned about every game the rest of the way, with exception of Kansas.
Yep.
And I'm going to qualify that by saying, look, you have to care about every game. I get that. But thinking specifically about what beats this football team right now and what every other team on the schedule does well.
Yeah.
This team loses physical confrontations, and they lose to good rushing attacks. That's what Baylor is. Baylor just upset BYU, although technically it wasn't because of Vegas, but BYU was still ranked. Baylor did a good job winning that game at home.
Good game, Baylor.
Good game, Baylor.
That was nice.
They did not commit a single penalty in that game.
Wow.
They don't shoot themselves in the foot. They're the anti-Texas in that regard. After that, you have West Virginia, which isn't very good, but if they do something well right now, it's running the football with Letty Brown.
And you got to go there.
And you have to go there, too.
God,
and
yeah.
That's my biggest issue with that game and the Iowa State game, too.
Yes.
You're going to face fired-up crowds. And by the way, you don't think that crowd in Waco in less than 2 weeks is going to be rabid?
Dude.
You are kidding yourself. That has turned into one of the best home environments in this conference.
And, Trey, I know it sounds silly when we mention it, but all three places, do you really think that anybody on those officiating crews in Morgantown, Waco, and Ames is going to care about Texas at all?
Not a damn bit.
Not at all, because neither of those officials cared about Casey Thompson's sternum on Saturday.
No.
That is about as easy a call as I can make. If you really care about, well, don't land with your weight on him. What about when he puts his helmet on his chest in the mm-hmm. center of his sternum and slams it into the ground? What about that? Is that a flag? Because I think it should be.
And by the way, speaking of, it's time to start talking about Casey Thompson in terms of wondering if he can fully recapture the magic that we saw in that three-game stretch. And I realize he was good against Oklahoma in the first half of that game as well.
Mm-hmm.
And he even had some nice throws in the second half. But we need to see Casey Thompson do a better job of taking this team on his shoulders now that he's down one of his most reliable weapons in the receiving corps. And I don't know if that means getting Keelan Robinson a little bit more involved as a quote-unquote wide receiver or figuring out more creative ways to get Xavier Worthy the ball. But he's reeling right now. And we saw this last game, the big concern with him coming out of fall practice. And that is, at times, he gets lax with stepping into throws. And you see him badly underthrow the football that leads to game-changing turnovers. And that's exactly what happened at the end of the first half on that pick six.
Oh.
That was a bad ball that he threw, and I would argue is the turning point in that football game.
No doubt. No
and
doubt.
Obviously the second interception he has pretty much ices it for Oklahoma State.
You know, Trey, I'm an old school football guy. I'm such a believer in the three score theory of football. I think three scores is such an important thing. If he downed the ball there, it's a three score lead because I believe Dicker hits that kick. That's a short kick for him.
Mm-hmm.
20-3 there would have been a massive step in that game. Obviously, 24-3 would have been even bigger. To switch it that fast, to go from the 14-point turnaround on one play is one of the biggest things you can do in football. When you're that deep in the field and it's an 85-yard pick six, man, nothing takes the wind out of your sails like that one can. Because the moment that dude, Taylor, crossed the goal line, I said to myself, it's a last play kind of game now. Now you just got to win the thing. You had a chance to go pretty. You had a chance to dominate. You had a chance to make a show out of it. Now you just got to win because Gundy's going to make you drag this to the end. And he did. You knew. I mean, that's a bad play. And by the way, Oklahoma State defended that play really well too because the guy that backed off of a receiver to go jump that route, he actually handed a receiver off that wasn't open.
Mm-hmm.
So Casey Thompson didn't realize that.
No, he defended
that play pretty well.
He did a good job staying hidden behind what the offensive and defensive line were looking like in front of Casey Thompson. Also, it was a nice defensive play, but it was also a bad throw that Casey Thompson cannot make.
Nope, you're right. That was a terrible, terrible throw. This says get Bijan Moore in the passing game and highlights will abound. That's how he stays in the Heisman race.
I don't know what to do about that anymore because we've been calling for it for a couple of weeks now and it's still not happening. And his numbers looked good. They did. But you still need more out of him in a game like that where clearly you're struggling in just about every other avenue.
Here's the problem, though. Back to the comparison. In 1998, nobody said you need to get Ricky in the pass game more to get him more highlights because you were allowed to do what he could do. His vanilla was on display all year. He got 259 against the Aggies. You know how much the leading Aggie had? 8. They were dominating at times, and he was dominating. Bijan, they're so fancy early with all the scripted 15 plays, they don't get down to what he can be. Because guess what? They can't block him well enough to let him be that. They don't block well enough for him to do what he does. That's the frustrating part to me. I feel like they're casting Christopher Walken in too many comedies. That's what you do if you put him out on the edge, Trey. You need to cast the man as a psycho about every third movie because he's Christopher Walken and that's what he does. You need to let Bijan run between the tackles because he's a badass or run that stretch because he's a badass. But you don't block that well enough, do you, Texas?
Guess
that's the problem.
I guess it would be fitting if we're comparing Oklahoma State to Joe Dirt.
Exactly. The man can be funny. The man can be he can be versatile.
Mm-hmm.
But I love him when he's a psycho.
Yeah.
And I need that Bijan run. Just give me that Bijan psycho run. I feel like they get so fancy early on. Look at him over here. Look at him over here. Look at him over here. Run the ball, man. Run the ball.
We need more cowbell. Cowbell being just traditional rushing attacks. See, I don't necessarily agree with that, though, because Bijan is so versatile. And also, you're limited with what you can do with that offensive line that sometimes you do need to find better ways to get him the ball in space. That's why I gave a compliment to this offense the very first play of the game where they have Bijan go in motion from a slot receiver position, flip him the football and let him do his thing, and he did. It was a nice start to the game, and Texas ends up taking the ball down and scoring a touchdown there.
And ultimately, the answer is they do need to keep into that groove. Back to my analogy, they need to find the dark comedies for him. Yeah. That's what this is. They need to keep that up. Steve Sarkisian stops at some point. Maybe he gets nervous at some point. He freezes at some point. But those long stretches of nothing on first down, he's got to figure that out. They have to figure out a way to stay aggressive. And like you just said, coach around your lack of blocking.
Yeah, and by the way, every defense the rest of the way, again, maybe with the exception of the Jayhawks, they're going to cover up him going out on that swing pass. So I don't know if you need to do what Chad suggested last Thursday or Friday, and that's fake the handoff before sending him out on a route like that.
Yeah, the Zeke play that the Cowboys ran.
The Zeke play.
Yeah.
I kept thinking about that while I was watching the game on Saturday. Like, that would look so good, and I bet it would open him up too.
Yeah.
Or figure something else out there. if you're not going to hand him off the ball, but you're still going to try and get him a touch or give Casey the option of finding him for a touch in that game.
Somebody says Bijan is more versatile than Ricky. No disrespect to Ricky. He is lethal in the short passing game, and he is, as he is, running the rock. Hey, maybe that's it. He's the one bit of substance they have. So more of him is not a bad idea. I'm not saying don't put him in pass routes. You just got to figure out a way to get more yards, whatever mm-hmm. that is.
Mm-hmm.
Got to figure out a way to start drives better, and then maybe you'll get more reasonable third down plays to try to convert. All right, we're talking more Texas as we go along. Also, the rest of college football. We reset with Georgia and Cincinnati at the top because Iowa could not get it done. We'll talk about that one and some of the other big games from the weekend. Joe Cook of Inside Texas coming up at 2:05. And before the hour's done at 1:45, Trey's got where are we at in society. It's sleep monitoring, but of a whole different type on the horn.
Shirts and skins.
Somebody change the lock on my door. And my key, it won't fit in my lock no more. I've been standing on my front porch all night long. And I know
some new music that doesn't sound new. I like it. What you got, Trey?
The California Honey Drops, oh, My yeah. Key Don't Fit.
It's a universal theme right there. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
California Honey Drops, more new music coming. Trey's grabbed us some Chris Stapleton and Santana. Check that tune out. It's really good. Some David Bowie that they found that we weren't thrilled with, but hey, give it a shot if you're a Bowie fan. And California Honey Drops with some new stuff. My daughter was very excited about this new Adele track. We listened to that the other day. I thought it was pretty good. Listened all the way through. Feels like she's somewhere between, Trey, between the worst of what it was after the voice stuff, which still for her is, 75% of Adele is still pretty damn good. I think now she's more into that 80-85%, maybe crawling up towards 90. She's not all the way back yet.
Good.
But I feel like she's getting control of certain things again, learning how to sing with this new version of her voice. And it's a good song. I enjoyed it.
I trust your opinion on these things, so I'm sure it's good.
I enjoyed that.
Sure, my wife and kids will be familiar with it in the next 2 weeks.
There you go. And it's just like a good Adele song, it is catchy and it'll crawl into your brain. It'll get in there.
Got plenty of other of those that have popped into the brain over the last year plus now.
Yeah, definitely will do that. All right, so a lot of things going on this week. Let's get you a reminder. If you're a Texas basketball fan, two things. Number one, how about preseason top five? Huh?
Yeah.
AP poll is out there. Those no good, low down, dirty Gonzaga Bulldogs are number one, 55 first place votes. UCLA comes in at two. They got a few first place votes. Then Kansas is at three. Villanova sits at four. Jay Wright in his nice suits. And Texas, preseason number five. So congrats there. If you want to get the energy going, keep that vibe and hear a little bit from your coach. This week, Longhorn Weekly is a special Chris Beard edition at the Pluckers campus location, live on Thursday night at 7. Chris Beard really wants to get that vibe going around campus, get the students interested in his team. Top five preseason. Get on out there this week for a special Longhorn Weekly with the off week of football. It's going to be Coach Beard on Thursday night.
Really excited about what this basketball team is capable of this mm-hmm. year, Chad. Just look at the second string guys, the second team for the Longhorns, and it feels like they could be a top five team in this conference. So they've got a ton of depth. It's honestly going to be one of Chris Beard's biggest challenges is making sure to get guys the right minutes, the right amount of time with the basketball as well. And with a lot of those things, winning is what allows guys to be happy with various situations. So team is poised to win a lot this year and truly compete, not just for a conference championship, but a national title too.
Yeah. Definitely seems like the Longhorns are poised to win. Speaking of wins, Purdue got a big one at Iowa over the weekend. Pretty much everybody else handles their business. We'll get to that. But Iowa did not. I wouldn't say they necessarily got totally smashed X's and O's wise, but you can't turn the ball over four times, even if you're at home, even if you're number two, and you think that other team's not quite as good. Trey, Purdue kept the ball away from them, 35-25 on time of possession, and they just got after it. It wasn't the most Now, when you break the numbers down, both these teams were like 2.5 yards a carry, so it wasn't thrilling that way. But Purdue's quarterback was clean, and Petras was awful. I mean, 4 picks. Iowa just never felt like they got their claws into this thing, and Purdue upsets them. So I don't know if Iowa's done with their playoff aspirations, but they slipped all the way down to number 9. All the way down to 11. 11 in the AP.
It would take something miraculous. And we talked about it last week. At some point, Iowa's inability to generate true offense was going to catch up with them. As good as that defense had been, the defense was going to slip at some point, and they would need the offense to carry more than their fair share of the weight. And unfortunately for Hawkeyes fans, that did not happen on Saturday. And credit Purdue and Brohm and really David Bell, the wide receiver who went off in this game, 240 receiving yards on 11 catches, had a touchdown to go along with, and Purdue for really dominating this game. And it was a blowout considering that Iowa was the number 2 team in the country, and Purdue came in as a team that had one more win than losses on the year.
And then around that, it was just a whole lot of handle your business like you're supposed to.
For the most part, with the exception of Florida LSU.
Well, I'm talking about teams in terms of a playoff discussion.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But you're right. Florida did not handle their business, and LSU got a win. We can talk about the LSU future, too.
You and freaking Zay are so lucky with that backdoor cover you got from Kentucky, by the way.
Ooh, how about that?
I was furious with that.
Backdoor. Georgia handles Kentucky. Cincinnati looks good. OU did what they were supposed to do. Bama handles Mississippi State like they're supposed to.
Oh, man, you knew that was going to be a boat race.
Yeah, Ohio State and Michigan were both off. They're poised for some big matchups in the next couple weeks. You got Penn State lurking with one loss. Oklahoma State, as we talked about, because of the Texas win, they creep up into the top 10. So that's a team you got to pay attention to now. And then again, Iowa falls 9 slots. But it really was one of those, it turned into a true handle your business kind of stuff. And I watched a decent bit. Haven't gone back and rewatched the Georgia-Kentucky thing, but my God, Georgia just... they sit on you like an anvil, man. They're hard to move, hard to deal with, and I give Monken credit. He's doing enough. They are. My question nowadays in college football is your offense dynamic enough? They feel pretty dynamic right now. Even with Bennett, they're getting creative enough, and they're helping that defense out. That defense doesn't need much, man. In most games, you give them 21, something like that. They're going to win the game. They're going to they will smother the other team.
They only needed 14 in this one. Yeah, Stetson Bennett has become the textbook definition of a game manager. And for Oklahoma, Chad, I don't know if we just witnessed this in person, them going from Kelly Bryant to Trevor Lawrence, but Caleb Williams looked like a bona fide guy this last weekend versus TCU. Yeah, it was TCU. They're not great defensively this year. But he was on the money with the number of throws, ran when he had to, and Kennedy Brooks, that fire is lit underneath him now. He is back to the true-on number one guy for them in that backfield.
And I thought it's funny you bring that analogy up. I thought it with Trevor Lawrence, he'd make throws at Clemson that I would think, well, Kelly can't make that throw. Love Kelly Bryant, but he can't make that one. And I probably saw it 5 times Saturday night where Caleb Williams made a throw, and I just thought, well, 7 doesn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
7's not making that throw. Like, really? And the idea that Lincoln is still even addressing this shows, like, this weird respect for Spencer Rattler or fear of him leaving or whatever it is. But, like, Caleb Williams is on a different level. You can feel that team following him. And I don't know if it makes them national title kind of good, but it does make them playoff kind of good. They do have an opportunity now if they can get by Bedlam and Stillwater, win the Big 12 title, they're going to be right in that mix. They're not, if they stay undefeated, that committee will not leave Oklahoma at the door. They'll kick Cincinnati out before they kick them out.
Oh, and both will stay in, too. I mean, Oklahoma's 3 right now, Cincinnati's 2. It's going to take some other things to happen for any other team outside the top 4 right now to make it in, because Alabama's the number 4 team.
Mm-hmm.
So certainly more changes will happen before the end of the year. Maybe Oklahoma does lose another game, but it does look like now they have returned to that Lincoln-Riley offense form while also having a disruptive defensive front like what Alex Grinch brings to the table. They can still be had in the passing attack. They are not great against the pass necessarily, but they are really starting to put some pieces together that does have me wondering if they're going to be not just making the playoff, but have the potential to do something more.
Yeah, trying to get that semifinal win. That'd be the next step, obviously, for Oklahoma. Real quick, the Ed Orgeron story. The story is they've made an agreement after the Kentucky game, even though he beat Florida. The agreement is he's done after this year, but they are letting him finish, and they're going to pay him every bit of $17 million to go away.
Yeah, he could feel this starting to happen a few weeks ago. I think I asked BJ about this 2 or 3 weeks ago when we spoke with him about how hot Ed Orgeron's seat was. And it's not only hot because of just how his teams have not been performing over the last couple of seasons now and how he's really swung and missed badly on two different coaching staff resets. The first was a result of them winning the national championship and guys getting swiped away. Dave Aranda to Baylor, Joe Brady to the Carolina Panthers. But he missed badly that offseason, and it hasn't been much better since then, on top of the fact that he is apparently a real sex tiger around Baton Rouge and not shy about making his feelings known to attractive young women. Some may have been married around Baton Rouge, including bringing some of his side pieces and their kids at times to practice and allowing them to get involved in practice, allowing the kids to like have some fun and run some plays with the LSU football team.
Wow.
While they're supposed to be focused on practicing for, and this is a total hypothetical, I don't know if this is happening Alabama week, but when they're supposed to be practicing for, let's say, an Alabama or right. a Florida or an A&M or another team like that.
Yeah, that investigation they did a few years ago into a lot of different things in his run did result in some weird things, troubling things maybe for LSU if you're not getting that football that you want. What did I read? They went like 9-8 after that title. The next 17 games were 9-8.
That sounds about right. Yeah.
And so yeah, they're in a tough spot. Some of the names I've heard people joking about the Tom Herman thing because they looked at Herman at one point.
I tweeted out last night, "Congrats LSU football! You finally have a realistic chance at Tom Herman now."
Right, but you do realize who the AD is at LSU, right?
Woodward, and so people are wondering about Jimbo.
Yeah, that's one of those things about if you really, really deep down think your spouse might be wanting to either cheat, leave, or both, only ask the question if you want to know the answer.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that answer is going to be.
You don't know the answer?
No, I don't know.
Mm.
Because the idea is, does that friendship matter to him enough, or then deep down, if it's all equal to him, if it's all equal to Jimbo, you in the SEC West, and you know the problems you have to deal with there anyway. Where would you rather do it? Would you rather do it in College Station, or would you rather do it in Baton Rouge? You've been in College Station 3 years. Now you're into your fourth. You've seen what this is. But you've also been to Baton Rouge. You got a national title as an assistant. You tell me. In your mind, Jimbo, is LSU on a different level than A&M, or is it the same thing? Do you think of this as lateral, move down, move up? How do you look at it? By the way, Trey, that deal that everybody's been ripping on A&M for, the re-upped guaranteed money, A, it's all guaranteed, and B, there's no, what do they call those things? Prenup? No. Buyout.
How the hell did you guys pay that much money and not get any sort of buyout clause?
Good question. Oh, I'm sorry. You want the answer? Love. That's why. Love. If at some point in my life I could have convinced J-Lo to marry me and she said, "We don't need a prenup, baby, because I love you," I'd have probably said, "Okay, all right. You're right, Jennifer. You do love me." Because how did they acquire him? He cheated on another pretty big program. He left somewhere people didn't think he was going to leave. It's kind of how you got him. Could you be that shocked if this is how he leaves you? Honestly.
You shouldn't be.
I'm just trying to take a look at it realistically.
You shouldn't be.
I would love for him to decide that the Aggie culture has just become a part of his soul, and he wouldn't leave it for anything.
He does seem comfortable there.
He does. He seems comfortable. He's country. He's this. He got the stuff. He likes to be out on the land. Or what? They got country in Louisiana, though. They got. He knows what they've got. He's been there.
I think they've forged a couple of Coach of the Year placards to give him to hang up in his office now.
Here's the way I would
get into the Aggie way.
Here's the way I would ask this. If you knew Ross Bjork, would you tell him to ask him or not? Would you tell him to ask the question? Because you'd love for him to just call a next press conference for their next game, for somebody to ask it and him to totally dismiss it. Man, I got a job. We're trying to beat South Carolina. Next question. And that's it.
What is the relationship?
I don't know. Good, that's a good question. I'm not sure. How close does Ross Bjork feel to Jimbo Fisher?
I think that they have even decent communication. It is, well, how do you feel about this?
And
if Jimbo tries to leverage it for more money, at A&M, you do have to put your foot down at some point and say, look, man, we've already made you one of the two or three highest paid coaches in the country.
Oh, my God, they'll re-up him again.
We can't, I know. We can't go over what Nick Saban gets paid here. I hope you understand that, and I hope you understand how much we love you and we want to be a part of this thing. I mean, we have proven that over and over again with the contracts that we've handed you, including this extension this last offseason. After all that, you know what, that we had to eat when we initially signed you. We believe in you that much, and we just saw that play out on the field versus Alabama.
Here's another team in the state of Texas I wonder, do they need to worry? What about Aranda?
If Baylor continues doing what they have, absolutely.
Right?
Yes.
Wouldn't you make that phone call?
Dude, LSU people love Aranda. They're looking at him and saying, wait a second. Is this guy like a Matt Rhule here where he finally gets that head coaching opportunity and he makes the most of it?
I don't know.
With
I'm
a program
sure.
that was gutted after Matt Rhule's last year, it's a big reason why he left. He knew that things wouldn't get any better the following season necessarily, and he turned that into the Carolina job. Dave Aranda has a two-year turnaround with the Bears.
Yeah.
Watch how loud that noise gets if they beat Texas in 2 weeks.
Exactly right. They get a couple more
That's
big wins.
That's a great thought by you.
That could be interesting. And also congrats to him because he's on everybody's list. James Franklin's on a list I saw last night because he's James Franklin. That dude's on everybody's list.
Of course.
He is. He's the coach everybody thinks about. They don't hire him. They just think about him every time.
Let me guess. Pat Fitzgerald's name also got brought up.
I did not read it, but it was probably there.
Oh, wait. Northwestern sucks this year.
Yeah,
it's an
true.
Off year for Pat and the coaching openings.
Yeah, it's the down year. It's the quiet year in Evanston. All right, coming up, where we at in society? Trey's got a story about sleep monitoring that's probably going to make me uncomfortable. Don't move. This is The Horn.
Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey.
Trey's got some new music for you today. What we got, Trey?
This is The Wombats, Ready for the High.
I was fascinated with the word wombats and the animal wombats. The thing is, though, I was like 8 at the time.
Okay.
The idea that this is where they ended up. You've played this band a few times. I kind of dig it. But
I do not remember playing them before. What is a wombat, anyhow?
A wombat is an Australian animal, and it is like a little, it's a marsupial, I think.
Okay. So it's not a woman bat then?
No, it's not. It's not a female bat.
Okay.
That's not what it is. Yeah, but look it up. It's a weird looking little creature. I just can't imagine that's what you'd want your band to be. Like that's where you'd land. We're going to be the wombats. This is what we are going to settle on.
Yeah.
Right? Like, It's a cool name for an animal.
I
when
never
you
would
are
have
eight.
Guessed this is what a wombat looked like. I was certain it would have wings. It just looks like if koala bears were boring, that's what a wombat is.
Yeah, like reject koala bears.
Yeah, like if a koala bear got caught procreating with a possum. And it looked a little bit more koala than it did possum.
That's a good way to describe that. All right, hope you're having a good Monday. Talking Texas, the loss to Oklahoma State. What does it mean now for a 4-3 team, 2-2 in conference? We've been talking about all the different ramifications of that. Cowboys get the big win in New England. We'll get back to some Longhorn discussion at 2 with Joe Cook of Inside Texas. Right now, where are we at in society? Pardon the Gundy. Here we go.
Where are we at in society today?
Oh, that's the guy that did it to you again, Trey. Good grief.
Oh, that sucks. I do apologize for that. I shouldn't have played it today. This episode of Where Are We At in Society brought to you by Wombats. Chad, you don't have any sort of sleep tracking technology that you wear at night, right? Like the Aura Ring or the Whoop Strap or an Apple Watch, something along those lines?
Nothing specific. I do have the, what is this? This the Fitbit type of thing.
Okay, the Fitbit can help.
Now, I don't set it to track my sleep. I think it may do some of that. If I sync it up to my phone, I think it'll tell me some things. But no, I don't actively go to sleep and hit something that tracks me sleeping.
Well, what are you using the Fitbit for then?
That's just for every day, you know, steps and see how far I'm walking and stuff like that.
What's a good number of steps for you?
You know, like 180. No, I like a day where I'm up. I'd like like a 2.5 mile kind of day.
Okay.
If I'm not exercising specifically, if I'm walking around 2.5 miles, I feel good. If I'm exercising, I'd like it to be like 5.
Do you turn it on before the DDP yoga?
Oh, yeah.
Just to see how calories you're burning?
I use that for the heart monitor when I do yoga.
Gotcha. All right. Well, there are lots of wearables out there that can help track your sleep, but we now have a technology that can monitor, brace yourselves, your nighttime erection activity.
Oh, my Lord. Why would I want to do this, Trey? Why would I care?
Well, because, Chad, there are a lot of impotent males out there who might be helped by an erection tracking sensor that, that they can wear down there like a ring. Like, you put a ring on your finger, but you're putting a ring-like contraption down there.
I got you. And you're saying that when they find out about these patterns or these moments, what? Like, they have an alarm to wake them up so they can... What are we doing?
So, developers say that this gadget, which connects to an app, it will monitor a person's nocturnal erections to assess the well-being of their little guy. It's hoped that the gadget, which is set to about $100 when it goes on sale next April, may assist thousands and thousands of males who are suffering from erectile dysfunction by uncovering the basis for their malfunction. Men usually experience, before we get that number, how many do you think you experience per night? In your sleep.
That's what I was just about to ask. Like, is there a normal number of salutes per evening?
There is.
That happens?
Yes.
All right. Is it between like 0 and 5?
No.
I feel like it's a small number.
0 is unhealthy.
Really?
And I've read about this before when reading about dreams and just the purpose of sleep and things like that. You are supposed to have them, I want to say, near the end of REM sleep or going into REM sleep. I forget where in the order it is. It's around REM sleep somewhere, but it's supposed to be 3 to 5 per night.
Really?
For most healthy men.
How about that? I did not know that.
Healthy men have 3 to 5.
Then 7 is the answer, Trey.
With each lasting about 45 minutes.
45 minutes?
Yes.
Huh. All right.
Clearly not you. Clearly the 7 are going closer to like 3 minutes.
That's right. Exactly. I'm going for quantity, not quality.
Now, the reason why that these are important is that they help flush the organ with blood throughout the nighttime. But a person with less than 3 erections in an evening may have some cardiovascular issues going on, which can then correspond to your ability to perform down there.
So you're saying for guys that are having the performance question, this is something that could lead them back around to help to figure that out, and they can do it while they're sleeping. I never would have thought of that. That's fascinating.
So this sensor, which is worn like a ring, guarantees to assist males to better understand their impotency by measuring the size, the amount of time, and some other things having to do with their nighttime wood.
The old salute. All right, there you are. Fair enough.
And they're hoping this Adam Health, that's the name of the group that's offering up this, I don't know what
idea?
You call it.
Technology?
This technology, sure.
Solution?
They believe that once they are able to get these numbers, that they can find ways to help men get back to performing.
Wow. All right. There you go. It's a problem for a lot of guys. And the old joke is it's a problem for a lot of guys. Not me or anybody I know, but it's a problem for a lot of guys. So if you're out there, you don't even have to just keep looking straight ahead. If you're in the car with somebody, don't let them know it's you. But if it's you, check it out.
Apparently it's a lot like the eyesight, Chad. at some point, now with the eyesight, it's in the 40s. At some point, according to this article, in the 50s, just about every guy is bound to experience this in some way, shape, or form.
Huh. They can track anything with an app, can't they?
Yeah.
It's a fascinating thing. I try to imagine, so if you're in the average household nowadays where the kids are obviously way more technologically sound than the parents, what happens when the kid doesn't understand what's happening and like your 12 to 14-year-old grabs the phone and is trying to check something else and stumbles across that app and then gets this mental image of like, wait, what is this app tracking? What? Oh, my God. Ah! And then they just vomit everywhere.
Yeah, that's a tough one. Calvin asked about how he was born the other day, like how he was made.
Right.
I wasn't around. Justine was. She was like, I don't really know what to tell you right now. You're going to have to ask me later. And Justine is a medical professional also, but she's like, I just really didn't want to get into it with him in the middle of Target. Right?
Oh, what a time to ask.
Yeah.
So they were just they were just rolling down an aisle at Target. Mommy, how was I made?
Yeah. They were like rolling past the baby section. He's like, Mommy, I was a baby. How was I made? And she's like, well, Mommy and Daddy came together to make you. And he's like, yeah, but how? She said, just get back to your goldfish, kid.
And he probably got what he wanted at that point. Can I have that gum? Yes, you can. Just shut up. Let's go. Shut up. Let's get out of here.
Can I have that ring pop? You sure can.
That is fantastic. All right. There's where we at in society today. Some more, sleep monitoring. I didn't know was going on. Dak Prescott did not tell me about that with the sleep number bed, Trey. He tells me it does a lot of things, but apparently it's not doing that. He says it keeps him cool at night. It raises his feet if he needs it. Are we going to add this to the sleep number bed, that the sleep number bed can help me figure out if, we're good there with salutes per night?
If sleep number is smart, they will try and find a way to implement this technology. The only downside is it's really only good if you're a stomach sleeper.
Oh, my God. I was going to make a soft, firm joke, but I think that was much better. All right. Up next, it's Joe Cook of Inside Texas and On3.com to talk about the Longhorns. We needed a laugh because, the Longhorns can't block. This is the horn.